All right, diving right into your personalized deep dive today. We're going deep on something I know you're really interested in, diabetes mellitus.
Yeah, a really fascinating topic.
We're going to be breaking down a really awesome guide, Diabetes Mellitus, a nursing care study guide.
A great resource.
And hopefully by the end of this, you'll have a much better grasp on the essentials of diabetes, everything from the different types and what causes it to how it's treated and all the potential complications.
Yeah, we'll cover all that. And some interesting things along the way, I think you'll find pretty surprising. Like, did you know that you can actually develop diabetes during pregnancy?
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah, wild ride. We'll definitely unpack that and a whole lot more so. Let's get started.
Okay, so let's kick things off with the basics. What exactly is diabetes and why should we even care about it?
Okay, so at its core, diabetes is all about how your body handles sugar, specifically glucose, which is like the main fuel that our cells use for energy.
Okay, makes sense.
Now, there's this hormone called insulin, and it acts like a key. Yeah, it unlocks the doors of our cells, allowing glucose to enter and be used for energy.
Gotcha.
In diabetes, this whole system kind of goes haywire.
Haywire, how?
Well, it's either a key shortage, meaning your body isn't making enough insulin, or it's like the locks on those cell doors have changed.
So the keys don't fit anymore.
Exactly. The cells become resistant to insulin. So either way, glucose can't get in and it starts building up in the blood.
Ah, so that's what high blood sugar is all about.
Yep. And that's where the trouble starts. Over time, high blood sugar can damage blood vessels and nerves all over your body.
Oh no, so what kind of damage are we talking? Like, what can that actually lead to?
It can increase the risk of all sorts of serious health problems like heart disease, vision problems, even kidney disease.
Wow. Okay, definitely not something to mess around with. You mentioned different types of diabetes earlier. I'm guessing it's not just one thing.
Right, it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all situation. There are a few main types, each with its own, like, quirks.
Quirks, I like that. Okay, so break it down for us. What are the different types?
Well, first up is type 1 diabetes. In this case, the body's immune system kind of goes rogue.
Rogue.
Yeah, it mistakenly attacks the cells in the pancreas that produce insulin. It's like shutting down the key-making factory.
Wow, so no more keys are being made at all.
Right, and this usually happens in childhood or adolescence. And folks with type 1, they need insulin therapy, like for life.
Wow, so their body's attacking itself. That's intense. So then there's type 2, right? That's the one we hear about the most.
Exactly. It's the most common type, usually developing in adulthood. And it's often linked to lifestyle factors like, obesity and lack of physical activity.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard. So is it less serious than type 1?
Not necessarily. It can be just as serious, just in a different way. With type 2, it's not always just a key shortage. Sometimes it's more like those cell doors are getting rusty, harder to unlock, even if there are keys around.
Ah, so insulin resistance.
Exactly. The cells are less responsive to insulin.
So the pancreas is still trying to make keys, but the doors are just being stubborn.
Exactly. And over time, that can lead to the pancreas wearing out and not producing enough insulin to keep up.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get the picture.
Yeah.
Now, what about that pregnancy diabetes you mentioned earlier? That one sounds a little strange to me.
Yeah, it's called gestational diabetes, and it happens during pregnancy because of all the hormonal changes going on. Basically, those hormones can temporarily make cells less sensitive to insulin.
So it's like the locks change temporarily.
Pretty much. It usually goes away after the baby's born, but it's super important to manage it carefully.
Why is it so important to manage?
Well, it can increase the risk of complications during pregnancy.
Okay, I get it.
And for the mom, it could increase her risk of developing type 2 diabetes later on. So it's like a temporary glitch, but it can have some lasting effects.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes. Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah, there's one more. It's called secondary diabetes. This one's kind of like a side effect of something else going on in the body.
Like what?
Well, it could be another medical condition, like certain hormonal disorders, or even some medications that mess with blood sugar regulation. It's kind of like something's throwing a wrench into the whole system.
Interesting. So treatment for that would involve addressing that underlying cause, right?
Exactly. You want to fix that underlying problem and then manage the diabetes that results from it.
Okay, so four main types, each with its own unique challenges. But how do you even know if you have diabetes? What are the signs to look out for?
Well, there are some classic symptoms, often referred to as the three Ps.
The three P's. Okay, I'm listening.
All right, so first you've got polyuria. That's
All
a
right.
fancy way of saying frequent urination, especially at night.
Okay, having to get up to pee all the time. Got it.
Then there's polydipsia, which
Yeah.
basically means excessive thirst.
Feeling thirsty all the time. Okay, that makes sense.
And lastly, there's polyphagia. That's just a fancy word for increased hunger, like you just can't seem to get full.
Ah, so if you're practically living in the bathroom, constantly glued to your water bottle, and could eat a horse, that's a sign to get checked out.
Pretty much. And there are some other signs too, like you might feel super tired all the time, have blurry vision, notice that cuts and sores are taking forever to heal, or even get a lot of infections.
So basically, if your body seems off in any of these ways, it's a good idea to chat with your doctor.
Exactly. Early detection is key. The sooner diabetes is diagnosed and managed, the better the chances of preventing those serious complications we talked about earlier.
Right, those complications sound pretty scary, so definitely better to catch it early. Now, you keep mentioning managing diabetes. What does that even entail?
It can seem like a lot, but let's break it down. One of the most important things is monitoring your blood glucose.
Blood glucose, that's just another way of saying blood sugar, right?
Yep, same thing. It involves checking your blood sugar levels regularly, kind of like taking your body's temperature for glucose.
Okay, so how often are we talking? Is it like a daily thing?
The frequency really depends on the individual and the type of diabetes they have. Some people might just need to check a few times a day, while others might need to check more often, especially if they're on insulin.
Okay, makes sense. So monitoring is key. But what about medications? What role do they play?
Medications are definitely a big part of managing diabetes, especially for folks with type 1. Remember, their key making factory is out of commission.
Right, no insulin production at all.
So they need to get insulin from an outside source, through injections or an insulin pump.
So external keys to the rescue. What about folks with type 2? Do they need medication too?
Not always right away. It often starts with lifestyle changes, like diet and exercise. But if those aren't enough, there are different medications that can help improve insulin sensitivity or boost insulin production.
So it's all about finding the right tools to get those glucose doors open again.
Exactly. And sometimes, even folks with type 2 might need insulin down the road. It really just depends on the individual and how their body responds to other treatments.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got monitoring and medications. What about those lifestyle changes you mentioned? Let's unpack those a bit, starting with the diet. What's the deal with carbs and diabetes?
Carbs are a bit of a hot topic when it comes to diabetes. I think some people demonize them.
Yeah, I've heard that too. So are they really the enemy?
Not exactly. Carbs are actually an essential source of energy for our bodies. The key is to be mindful of the types and amounts you're eating.
Okay, so it's not about eliminating carbs completely.
No, not at all. It's more about choosing smart carbs and being mindful of portion sizes.
Smart carbs versus, like, not so smart carbs.
Exactly. Simple sugars, like those found in candy and sugary drinks, they cause your blood sugar to spike quickly.
Ah, so those are the ones to be more careful with.
Right. Complex carbs, like those found in whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, they break down more slowly and provide more sustained energy.
Gotcha. So it's all about balance and making informed choices. What about meal timing? Does that play a role too?
Absolutely. Eating at consistent times and spacing out your meals and snacks throughout the day can help prevent those big blood sugar swings.
So it's like keeping your blood sugar on an even keel. Okay, makes sense. Now let's move on to exercise. How does that fit into the diabetes management puzzle?
Exercise is amazing for so many reasons, and for folks with diabetes, it can be a real game changer. It helps improve insulin sensitivity, meaning your cells become more receptive to insulin.
So it helps those keys work better.
Exactly. And it can even reduce the amount of medication you need.
Yeah.
But there's a catch.
A catch.
Yeah. Exercise can also cause your blood sugar to drop too low, especially if you're taking insulin. So it's crucial to monitor your blood sugar closely around exercise and adjust your insulin or have a snack if needed.
Gotcha. So it's a balancing act.
It is. But the benefits of exercise far outweigh the risks. Even moderate exercise, like a brisk walk or bike ride, can make a huge difference.
So finding that sweet spot between movement and blood sugar control, it seems like regular monitoring is key, no matter what you're doing, whether you're adjusting your meds or changing your diet or incorporating exercise. It's all about staying in tune with your body's signals.
That's the heart of diabetes management, really. It's about finding that balance and working with your body to stay healthy. Now, even with the best management, diabetes can sometimes throw some curveballs. We'll discuss that next time.
Curveballs, huh? Sounds ominous. We'll be back soon to uncover those curveballs and more. Stay tuned.
All right, welcome back to our deep dive into diabetes. Last time we talked about, the different types of diabetes, those tricky complications and all that good stuff about self-management.
It was a good overview.
Yeah, it was. But before we jump into the future of diabetes care, I want to rewind a little bit and talk about how this condition is even diagnosed.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, early detection is so important.
Absolutely. The sooner you know what's going on, the sooner you can start managing it effectively. Right, exactly. So let's say someone's experiencing those classic symptoms, the excessive thirst, the constant bathroom trips, that kind of thing. What happens next? How does a doctor figure out if it's actually diabetes?
Well, it usually starts with a good old-fashioned conversation. The doctor's going to want to hear all about your symptoms, your medical history, and they'll do a physical exam too. But to actually confirm a diabetes diagnosis, we got to look at what's happening with your blood sugar. And that's where blood tests come in.
Ah, blood tests, the tell-all. So I'm guessing there's more than one type of blood test used for diabetes, right?
You got it. There are a few key tests we use. One of the most common ones is the fasting blood glucose test, or FBG for short.
Fasting, so no midnight snacking before this one, huh?
Nope. Basically, you can't eat or drink anything except water for at least 8 hours before the test, usually overnight. Then you go in, they take a small blood sample, and they analyze your glucose levels.
So you go in first thing in the morning, totally famished, and what are they looking for in those numbers? What's considered normal and what's a red flag?
So a normal fasting blood sugar level is usually between 70 and 99 milligrams per deciliter. But if your fasting blood sugar is 126 milligrams per deciliter or higher on two separate tests, that's generally a pretty clear sign of diabetes.
Okay, 126, got it. So what if your fasting blood sugar is somewhere in between? What happens then?
Well, if it's borderline, the doctor might order some additional tests just to get a clearer picture.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned that the FBG requires fasting. Are there any blood sugar tests that don't require that whole fasting thing? Because honestly, who likes fasting?
Right. Well, there's the random blood glucose test. And as the name suggests, it can be done at any time of day,
right,
regardless of when you last ate.
Okay. So it's a lot more spontaneous.
Yeah, exactly. It's especially helpful if someone's having those classic diabetes symptoms and we need some quick answers. If their random blood sugar is 200 milligrams per deciliter or higher, and they've got those symptoms, that's a pretty strong indicator of diabetes.
Okay, 200, another number to keep in mind. So we've got the fasting test, the random test. What other blood sugar sleuthing tools are in your arsenal?
Well, sometimes we want to get a broader perspective, see how what someone's blood sugar has been controlled over a longer period of time.
Okay, so not just a snapshot, but the whole movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For that, we use the hemoglobin A1C test, or A1C for short. It gives us an average of your blood sugar levels over the past 2 to 3 months.
Oh, wow. So it's like a blood sugar report card.
Haha, you could say that.
So what's considered a passing grade on this report card?
Well, for diagnosis, an A1C of 6.5% or higher on two separate tests usually means diabetes, but it's also used to track how well you're managing your diabetes over time. So it's a really useful tool, both for diagnosis and for monitoring.
Okay, A1C, got it. Are we missing any tests? Are there any others we should know about?
There's one more. It's called the oral glucose tolerance test, or OGTT. This one's a little more involved. First, you fast overnight. Then you drink a sugary solution, and we track your blood sugar levels over a couple of hours.
So you're basically challenging your body with a big dose of sugar and seeing how it handles it.
Pretty much. It's a way to see how well your body processes glucose.
Mm.
If your blood sugar stays high after that sugary drink, that's a sign that something's not quite right.
Okay, so we've got a whole bunch of tests to detect diabetes. But once you're diagnosed, the testing doesn't just stop there, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Monitoring your blood sugar regularly is super important, no matter what type of diabetes you have. It helps you and your doctor track your progress, see how different things affect your blood sugar, and make adjustments to your treatment plan as needed.
Right. It's all about staying on top of things and keeping those levels nice and stable.
Exactly. And thankfully, technology is making it easier and easier to do that.
Oh, okay. Tell me more. What kind of tech are we talking about?
One of the most exciting advancements in diabetes care is the continuous glucose monitor, or CGM.
Okay, CGM. I've had that term before. But what exactly is it?
It's this tiny device that you wear, usually on your abdomen or arm, and it constantly monitors your blood sugar levels.
No way, so you don't have to prick your finger all the time.
Nope. The CGM has a tiny sensor that sits just under your skin and measures your glucose levels in the fluid surrounding your cells. It sends those readings to a receiver or even your smartphone, so you can see your blood sugar trends in real time.
Wow, that's amazing. So you have like a constant stream of data on your blood sugar. That seems way more convenient than finger pricking.
Definitely. And it gives you a much more detailed picture of your blood sugar patterns, which can be really helpful in fine-tuning your management plan.
So CGMs, those are pretty game-changing.
Yeah, they really are. They can alert you to high or low blood sugar before you even feel symptoms, which can help you avoid those dangerous extremes.
So they're like a blood sugar early warning system. That's awesome. What else are CGMs good for?
Well, they can also help you see how different foods, activities, even stress can affect your blood sugar.
Right.
So it's like having this personalized feedback loop that can really help you understand your body better.
I can see how that would be super helpful for like figuring out what works best for you and your diabetes management.
Right. Now, keep in mind, even with all this amazing technology, those basic self-care practices we talked about are still super important.
Yeah.
You know, monitoring your blood sugar, taking your meds as prescribed, eating a healthy diet, getting enough exercise. Those are all still essential.
Right. It's not magic. You still got to put in the work.
Exactly. It's a partnership between you and your healthcare team. And technology is just a tool to help you along the way.
Okay. Makes sense. And you mentioned something about foot care being particularly important for folks with diabetes. Can we dig into that a little?
Oh, yeah. Foot care is crucial. Remember, diabetes can cause nerve damage, especially in the feet. And when you lose sensation in your feet, you might not notice cuts, sores, or blisters, which can easily get infected if they're not treated.
Yeah, that sounds pretty scary.
It is. That's why it's so important for people with diabetes to inspect their feet every day, like really look them over for any signs of problems.
Okay, daily foot inspections noted. What else should people be doing to keep their feet healthy?
Well, keeping your feet clean and dry is super important. Wash them every day with warm water and mild soap and dry them thoroughly, especially between the toes.
Gotcha. And what about shoes? Are there any special shoe rules for diabetes?
Yep. Always wear comfortable, well-fitting shoes that don't rub or pinch. And avoid going barefoot, even around the house. It's all about minimizing the risk of injury.
Okay. So treat your feet like royalty, basically.
Exactly. And if you notice any problems, no matter how small, don't wait. See your doctor or a podiatrist right away.
Got it. Early intervention is key. It sounds like diabetes management really is a full-body commitment. It's not just about taking medicine. It's about adopting a whole lifestyle that supports your overall health and well-being.
You nailed it. It's a holistic approach, and it's empowering, too. It puts you in the driver's seat of your own health.
I love that. So are you ready to shift gears and explore the future of diabetes care?
I am. Let's dive into part three and see what scientific breakthroughs are on the horizon.
Okay, so we've talked about the different types of diabetes, how it's diagnosed, and all the ins and outs of managing it. But now I want to look ahead. Like, what's next for diabetes care? What cool advancements are scientists working on?
Yeah, there's a ton of exciting research happening right now, and it feels like we're on the cusp of some major breakthroughs.
Okay, I'm officially intrigued. Spill the beans. What's in the pipeline?
Well, for starters, there are some really promising new medications being developed. One area that's particularly exciting is smarter insulin analogs. It's like insulin 2.0.
Insulin 2.0. Okay, I like the sound of that. What makes them so smart?
They're designed to work more closely like natural insulin, which helps fine-tune blood sugar control and reduce the risk of those like really intense sugar lows. Some of them are like super fast acting, so they kick in quickly after a meal, but they also don't linger as long in the bloodstream.
So it's like hitting that sweet spot of fast and effective without like overdoing it. What else is brewing in the medication world?
Another cool thing is combination therapies. It's like packing multiple diabetes medications into a single pill or injection.
Ooh, multitasking meds. What are the benefits of that?
Well, for one thing, it can make taking your medication a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like you're not juggling a bunch of different pills or injections.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also help you achieve better blood sugar control because you're targeting different aspects of the disease at the same time.
Okay, so efficiency and effectiveness all rolled into one. Now let's talk about insulin delivery. I know those daily injections can be a real drag. Are there any like less pokey options on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, nobody loves needles, right? One of the big dreams in diabetes research is oral insulin. You know, taking a pill instead of giving yourself an injection.
Wow, a diabetes pill, that would be huge. Is that even possible, though? Like, how would the insulin survive your stomach acid?
That's the tricky part, for sure. But scientists are working on some really innovative ways to protect the insulin and make sure it gets absorbed into the bloodstream. There are actually several oral insulin products in clinical trials right now.
Okay, so fingers crossed those trials go well. What about other delivery methods? Anything beyond pills and injections?
Oh, yeah, there are some really cool things being explored. Like inhaled insulin is already a thing.
Inhaled insulin, like you breathe it in.
Yep, it's a rapid-acting insulin that you take through an inhaler, kind of like those used for asthma. It can be really helpful for managing those post-meal blood sugar spikes. Not for everyone, though. Some people get side effects. But it's another option out there.
That's pretty wild. And what about those insulin pumps? Any fancy upgrades happening there?
Insulin pumps are getting a serious upgrade these days. So traditional pumps deliver a continuous dose of insulin through a small tube inserted under the skin. But the newer ones, they're like smart pumps.
Smart pumps? In what way?
Well, they can talk to those continuous glucose monitors we talked about earlier, and they can automatically adjust the insulin dose based on your real-time blood sugar readings.
Whoa, so it's like they're working together, a dynamic duo.
Exactly. It's a big step towards creating a closed-loop system, which is often called an artificial pancreas. It's still in development, but the idea is to have this system that essentially acts like a healthy pancreas, responding to blood sugar changes on its own.
Wow, that would be incredible, like technology stepping in to do what a damaged pancreas can't. Now, you mentioned cures earlier, like actually curing diabetes. Is that a real possibility, or is it still a pipe dream?
It's definitely a bold goal, but there's a lot of promising research happening in that area. Two big ones are stem cell therapy and gene therapy.
Okay, those sound pretty sci-fi. Can you break them down for me? Like, how would they work?
Sure. So stem cell therapy is kind of like hitting the reset button on the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to use stem cells, which are these super versatile cells that can become different types of cells, to replace the damaged insulin-producing cells. It's like giving the pancreas a brand new start.
Oh, that's cool. Is it actually working?
There have been some really encouraging results in early clinical trials, but it's still early days. It'll be a while before it becomes like a standard treatment. And then there's gene therapy, which is all about like editing the body's instruction manual, essentially modifying genes to correct the underlying problems that cause diabetes.
So it's like fixing the root of the problem at the DNA level.
Exactly. And that has the potential not just to treat diabetes, but to actually cure it. But again, there are still some challenges to overcome before it becomes a reality.
Well, it's amazing to think that we might actually be able to cure diabetes one day. And beyond these like super high-tech therapies, I know there's a big push for prevention too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Preventing diabetes, or at least delaying its onset, is a huge priority. And a lot of it comes down to those healthy lifestyle choices we've been talking about.
Right, all that stuff about eating well and exercising.
Exactly. Maintaining a healthy weight, eating a balanced diet, being physically active, not smoking, those things can drastically reduce your risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
It's amazing how much power we have over our own health.
Yeah. It really is. And it's not just about individual choices. There's a lot that can be done at a societal level, too.
Yeah.
You know, public health initiatives, education campaigns, making healthy food more accessible and affordable. Those are all really important.
So it's like a team effort. We all have a role to play in preventing and managing diabetes.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I feel like I've learned so much from this deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise. It's been truly fascinating.
My pleasure. It's a topic I'm really passionate about. And remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand about diabetes, the better prepared you'll be to manage it if you have it or support others who do. And hey, if you ever come across any confusing or conflicting information, just send us your sources and we'll help you make sense of it all. That's what the deep dive is all about. Until next time, keep learning and stay curious.